Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we take the pastor, preacher, whoever was speaking on Sunday, pull them aside and just ask them if they had 10 extra minutes, where would they have gone, what would they have said. And my name is Tyler Henry and I'm sitting here with
Rafael Mkandla.
So, Pastor Rafael, if you had 10 extra minutes, where would you have gone, what would you have said?
One of the things that, like, was just crazy was the whole idea that, you know, the church, like, the whole idea of, like, the lampstand, the golden lampstand. It's a very tough, it's a rough terrain of when you're reading scripture. It's so easy to just kind of, like, just not see anything in there because it reads like, someone said it reads like an IKEA manual, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I did on Sunday was just really kind of showing how, you know, the lamp and its actually design, yes, it was practically to give light, but also very, very just like made to be special in its glory. That's like 75 pounds of gold, you know, like made pure gold, mm-hmm. like, and all like crafted to so that like it's a one thing. It's in one and it's glorious. So, so you saw that like it was an echo of the burning bush. The fact that like it was not meant to be, and was never meant to go off. It was an echo of the tree of life, going back to Genesis. And you see, like, even the description of the buds, the petals, and all that stuff, like, almost like different stages of life, you know. And then it was also just like an echo of, like, the fact that, like, God's presence brings rest. Because some people look and say, why seven? Seven and light and going back to Genesis and seeing like it's almost like those 6 days when God worked and then seven, you know, the seven, the lamp is just really like that God is calling his people to rest. What I wanted to remind people was the whole idea that, you know, most of these things that are made in the tabernacle are they're portable. This tent was meant to be moving with God's mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, they were like nomadic, right?
Yeah, very nomadic. It is, but yet it was very like, yes, it was practically to give light, but just the symbolic part of that, like this light that doesn't go off, mm-hmm. this light like that is actually shining across the table is like the 12 loaves that are representing Israel. And just really looking at that and saying, that's actually now, like, even in Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 9, which is where at least, like, a lampstand is actually mentioned, we see Jesus being said to be a better tabernacle, right? Mm-hmm. And just saying that these are the things that, like, now are very true of us. We have that as the people of God. But what I would have really spent more time on, I spent just a little bit of time like on, you know, the lampstand was a symbol of God's presence. But like when you actually go even as well into some of the other areas of scripture, you get to see that, like, for example, the lampstand, Israel itself is actually like presented, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 16, in Hosea chapter 14, verse 6, and even like, for example, Psalm 20, 25, You get to see, you know, you get to see Psalm 52 verse 8, for example, which says this. Let me read it for you. It says, "But I am like a flourishing olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in God's faithful love forever and ever." And just really like where there are these pictures of actually like Israel being the tree before God as well. You know, so that like that those pictures of the lampstand is not only just God's presence, it's also in some of the texts in the Bible, you get to see also get to see Israel being actually put as also like a tree standing before God, which is actually now why when you get into the New Testament, Jesus comes as the light. Mm-hmm. I think we spend more time there, but the church is also called to be the light,
mm-hmm.
Where Jesus says in so there's a couple of different places where in Matthew chapter 5, at least like in Matthew chapter 5 and then Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Like then you are meant to shine and make your good works actually like bring the, you know, let your light so shine so that people will see your good works and then they will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So just the whole idea that like if God is light, and he is that presence that actually like just, he's that sustaining presence where we see inside his temple, we see the lamp. But if you went outside during the dark time, during the night, mm-hmm. what was there to provide light? It was that pillar of fire by night.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see that now in the New Testament a lot more where it's like, yes, God's presence is there through Jesus, but then inside, he's now made us temples of the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
As Corinthians says. But he wants us to shine as the church. That like now we are, you know, we are reflecting God's light in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that like everywhere we go, we are children of the light. And we're meant to bring, we're meant to shine. And it's pretty interesting. One thing that, like, I was going to reference to this, but, hey, if you've got parents, you've watched probably, like, the movie Tangled with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And in that movie Tangled, it's like, you know, how does the king find his long-lost child? How does the king find his long-lost daughter or long-stolen daughter, like, who's... The daughter every single year sees these lights that are going up. And then when she sees these lights that are going up, those lights are what calls her home, right? Mm-hmm. And then so just like for as it's the same with us, the king used his people who were all lighting up lanterns everywhere to actually what? To shine those lanterns until like the princess actually eventually came back. So we are also like his luminaries, I would say, shining the light to his people, so that people will find light in his son. So mm-hmm. that's just really just like how God uses us. But when you get to another place where the lampstand is actually mentioned, which is now where I really wanted to spend more time here, would have been Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 2. You know, later on in Revelation chapter, I think it's in Revelation chapter 11, there's just, in Revelation chapter 11, it's like the prophets who are coming in, like they're like, so it's when God's good news is going cosmic, right? But there's something amazing in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. And it says, "When I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was the Son of Man dressed in a robe with a golden sash wrapped around his chest." So John encounters the one who's like the Son of Man, really just encounters Jesus, the resurrected, ascended, ruling and reigning Jesus, in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So that, like the seven lampstands, you remember what those seven lampstands stand for? They stand for the seven churches that Jesus is actually writing to, and which is actually like where they represent the seven churches, which actually strengthens the arguments that the church is meant to be a lampstand in the world.
Yeah.
But there, like, and it's actually like where, and those lampstands are burning before God's throne, and they're burning before a lost world, right? But yet there's actually like something that's very, that's, if you were to look at those lampstands, another time when a lampstand is actually brought up is Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, where in 2:5, he advises the church of Ephesus, and he says, he basically says to them, remember how far you have fallen. So Jesus gives commendations in the book of Revelation. He says, I know your good works, I know. And then he's like, you know, and he commends how much they really have worked for him and stuff. But then in there, when you go in Revelation, for example, 2:5, you know, Jesus, like I say, he says, I know your works, your labor, your endurance, and you know that you don't tolerate evil. But you know, and he's like, and then, but he says, I have this one thing against you. You have abandoned your first love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he's like, yeah, you're shining, but like, you might just be shining just a little bit. You've abandoned your first love. That, and he says, remember how far you have fallen. Like, this is how you make your light shine brighter. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, listen to what he says, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And it's actually pretty interesting there in the book of Revelation, where basically he's like, hey guys, this is what I really want you to do. Remember what I've called you to. And he says, like, man, like, if you don't repent and come back, I will turn off your lampstand. Mm-hmm. That's where, at least like where there's a warning from, just when I was like reading, like one commentator, Alexander McLaren, kind of uses this warning here. And he's like, and his main thing is that like, hey, when you look at the golden lampstand at the beginning in Exodus, and then you look now on the what? On the lampstand that Jesus is like, hey, if you guys don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand. The warning for us is this, like where he says this golden lampstand tells us about the fatal effect of neglecting the churches and the individual duty.
Mm-hmm.
Where the golden lampstand, like, he's like, his question is like, where is the seven branch candlestick that was in the second temple? He's like, no one knows where it's at. Because like, it was like, once again, now when you're reading the prophets and you're reading like the exiles and all that stuff, what do? They come, they level down even the temples. They're like AD 70, even when Jesus is prophesying on the destruction of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally like, and he's like, yeah, where is it now? Where is that golden lampstand? He's like, no one knows. And then, so he's like, no one knows. It's possibly at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. It's like, no one has found it. And then the other side is that like, and he's like, okay, look at the candlestick. Like, eventually that was blown out. That was literally finally like, he's like, because Israel refused to actually be the people of God that he had called them to be. And they were, you know, sin was going, all that stuff, and they go to exiles and all that stuff. And then he says also, where's the seven candlesticks that is represented in Revelation? He's like, you know, he's like, the churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Thyatira, and the rest. He's like, where are they? Like today, that's a tourist venue, right? You go there, all you see is literally like nothing there. So he's like, there where some of those churches actually stood, now there's a mosque or something like that. Like where, so that's actually now like, it calls us back to, hey, we need to take seriously like the mandate of the church to shine.
Yeah.
Because if we do not, if we don't take that serious, like it means that like there's going to be someone who's going to be looking at 36 East 4th Street and say, they used to be a church there once. And then we've seen that in our city.
Mm-hmm. We've even seen that here.
Yeah, we've seen that. Like where there's some corners where it's like, oh yeah, that looks like a church. Oh no, but it's apartments.
Down towards my house, yeah.
And but what that needs to actually remind us is that like they used to once be a very vibrant people there.
Mm-hmm.
That people that saw Jesus. And then but like we now still need to start thinking about like, man, as a church, are we doing, like, are we making disciples, doing and thinking about like, man, like we are wanting to see the church actually what? Continue to thrive even mm-hmm. beyond our years.
Yeah.
And that's now like where it's like, okay, so what do we do in order to do that? That's why now at least like his word is a lamp unto our feet. Mm-hmm. Strategies of doing that is keep the word at the center,
mm-hmm.
preach the gospel, but at the same time make sure that like the church is also active in defending against like anything that wants to change maybe our agenda and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Which is where you come in and you're apologetic. but then also as well making sure the church is alive and well, we're a living witness outside. We are constantly, according to Revelation 2:5, we're constantly going back to our first love.
Yeah.
Which is who?
Yeah.
Which is Jesus himself. Yeah. So yeah, anyway, that's that. And if we're going back to Jesus, at least we need to be reminded of, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 42. That's where he says a bruised reed and a smoldering wick I will not despise. Where we have a savior who, this is what Alexander McLaren ends up saying. He says, let us be thankful that the priest is tending the lamps. He will not quench a smoking wick, but he will replenish it with oil and fan the dying flame.
Yeah.
That if the church actually remains close to Jesus, the lamp will keep burning. But if we lose our first love, then...
Yeah. Yeah, well, that, I mean, with everything going on in culture now, like, we're seeing a whole lot of deconstruction and people that are, for lack of a better term, leaving the faith.
Yeah.
That's exactly what, if we stay close to Jesus...
Yeah.
And we focus and we continue with our first love, deconstruction won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of like bring back what you said, like with the first love, like within the organization that I work with, we call that mission drift. When we lose our first love, mm-hmm. like our mission here is to extend the glory of God by making disciples through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like if we, because Jesus is the centerpiece of everything that City Church does. If mm-hmm. we drift from that mission, we lose our first love. But the cool part about, shameless plug here, the cool part about the apologetic side of things is we can, if you're trained in apologetics and theology, you can help keep the church in its first love, mission-focused, mm-hmm. Christ-focused. but the other thing that, like, I was really glad that you brought up the pillar of fire, because that's, like, where my mind went.
Yeah.
But the other thing that, as the church... is, like you said, the church is called to be the light.
Yeah.
You know, my big, like, interest piece is, like, the image of God.
Yeah.
So, if Christ is the light of the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
and we are called to be conformed to Christ's image,
yeah.
that's a perfect way to kind of segue that into our culture mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is,
as we're being conformed into Christ's image, we are then being that beacon of fire in the darkness that is our culture.
That's good, yeah. Because that's what 1 Corinthians 3:18 says.
Yeah.
That we, beholding his glory, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another.
Yeah.
Like, we're looking at his image, and that's what, that's what at least, I love that. Because that's what... That's what then kind of brings us back to outside. We have this pillar of fire by night, right? But on the inside, you've got this golden lamp.
Mm-hmm.
That's now when Bible's calling us now, you are the temple, right? You are the temple of the living God. Like the fact that now God has actually now, he has now moved everything from the veil is torn. But now he has you on the inside. He's conforming you. He's got that light of life burning on the inside of you. And that light of life burning on the inside of you begins to glow onto the outside. And then it's as you are renewed, as you're constantly being renewed into the image of his son, that means that you're going now and you're... you're being Christ-like everywhere.
Yeah. It makes me wonder too, what the walls of the tabernacle were actually made of.
Yeah.
Because if it's typical canvas, it's going to be pretty opaque. You're not going to be able to see through it. But if it's something anything less than that, then as the light's burning and as it gets stronger and stronger and brighter, people outside the temple are going to see it and they're going to be drawn to the light. But it reminds me,
With that one, it was have you seen? We're going to get to the curtains and those mugs are thick. It's just listen, if you've ever had a weighted blanket, that's even worse than a weighted blanket. If that curtain fell on you, you wouldn't get up. That's all I say. so it's just but it's actually cool that at least what you're mentioning is the fact that the symbol of if Jesus comes in and he becomes that tabernacle, when he cries, it is finished. What's one of the things that happened?
Mm-hmm.
The veil is torn.
The light can come out now.
And now the light can come out. It's literally Jesus literally was the light going public.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's going public. It's going now. Now it's hard to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually then kind of just talks about the fact that bro, someone who stays close to Jesus, loves Jesus, and Jesus is transforming, they are hard to ignore.
But it's not something the old phrase this is my personal religion or my personal Jesus. Oh, yeah. I'm this is it's supposed to change you. It's supposed to be noticeable.
It's not this little light of mine, which we talk about that. It's not this little light of mine that's just kind of it's this light that eventually has this transformational repercussions in life, in decision making, and how I do everything. It's just literally this light that begins to just expose everything. Have you ever taken a torch and put it on your arm, on your hand or something like that, and it begins to show almost it's the strongest light. It begins to show all the little veins and the blood. That's just what's meant to, when as light begins to, it begins to actually make us as, man, just that transparent. When I say transparent, genuine.
Yeah.
Genuine. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
That's your, yeah. But the other thing, as you were talking, I'm a metalhead. That's
finally, yeah.
That's part of the reason why I ended up coming to City Church at one point, was because we had metal shows and metal concerts down in our basement.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of how I got familiar with this church.
Believe it or not, I work out with metal sometimes.
You mean...
You don't want to see me when I'm doing that.
But it reminded me of one of my favorite metal bands.
Okay.
And the cool part is, the guitarist ended up becoming an atheist at one point, and... you can see the battle between the atheist guitarist and the Christian lead singer.
Yeah.
And, like, lyrically, like, you can see that battle. But in one of their songs, the band's called O Sleeper, if you want to go check out the song or read the lyrics. And the song's called Children of Fire. And the very last line says, ignite the world and let it burn.
Mm.
And it just, it's like, okay, that's exactly what the church is supposed to do. Yeah. We're supposed to be, we're supposed to set that fire.
Yeah.
In people so that as we're going out making disciples, we can sit back and watch it burn.
Yeah.
But the cool part is, fire doesn't stay contained. It continues to go out. And yeah. if you're still on fire, you're going to continue to burn.
Yeah, yeah. Burn in a good way.
Yes, yeah.
Not like Nero who put... do you remember, like, when we were reading Story of Christianity, when Nero was like, you say you're the light of the world, and then he dipped them all. Yeah, he dipped them all in candle wax and literally just, yeah. like, sat and watched them burn. Man, that's it, like, Christianity's gone through a lot.
Yeah, and people think that we're persecuted now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, but you anyway, don't even know.
That's a whole other story. Yeah. But that's really good. That's really good. Like, where...
Mm-hmm.
And that fire is actually, like... It's expressed through good works. It's expressed yes. through...
Yeah.
And that's actually why even this whole time, like this month of November, we are actually even calling the whole church to consider how to actually get involved with orphan care, for example. Mm-hmm. Just in saying, hey, listen, this is how we actually shine in these good works. It's actually we shine...
Yeah.
And but I loved at least like if you were there last week and that video is also going to be going out this week where Karis was actually just saying, hey, this is not something that we do. We do without Jesus. We do it because of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we were adopted. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we are putting the full expression of adoption through taking care of orphans. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter where those orphans are, whether it's actually like the, you know, whether it's actually children in foster care or different.
Mm-hmm.
But we are actually saying, what does it like, if Matthew 5:14 says that, like, let your light so shine, what is it like to actually take this light and put it in practical steps?
Mm-hmm.
Of just like, yeah. And some of that can be just through orphan care, through you know, we go and we do services, like we do services in nursing homes, we do stuff like that. And
yeah,
it's going to cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you
stay... You might have to go get a new candle.
Yeah. Yeah. If you stay close to Jesus, then, you know, it's going to help so much. So, yeah, thanks. Yeah.
No, that's really good, especially like tying that back into... orphan care.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, we take adoption really seriously here at City Church. Like, I know you've adopted, there's been multiple people in our church that have adopted and that or are like thinking about it. So like if you're out there and you're listening to this, like pray. See if that's something that God would like is leading you to do, not to just do it because you know, you want to build your family, but because you want to show a child the love of Christ.
Oh, yeah. It is, I'm telling you, there is nothing amazing than actually watching a child's personality, like coming from maybe, let's say, a hard situation. But when you're watching their personality unfold, you just had a baby. Like, you're just kind of, like, seeing these things of, like, this...
Oh, she's got personality.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just watching that and just saying, wow, I'm here for this. I'm here to see this person thrive.
Yeah.
And become the full potential, like, the image of God thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to just challenge everyone, please keep up with... some of the videos and things that we're actually sending out, like things that we're doing to actually promote, like, this is what it looks like for orphan care here at City Church. So, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we just leave it there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks, Raphael. Thank you for the sermon. Thank you for taking a really difficult topic and bringing it into the 21st century, because a lot of times we don't think about the tabernacle being applicable, but it is. So, guys, continue to be just plugged into your local church. If you don't have a local church, we'd love, and you're within our city, we'd love to meet you, and we'd love to talk to you and see what it would look like for City Church to become that. So, Raphael, again, thank you, and have a blessed week, guys. Bless you.